Praise God. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and open them to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and I want to read something that the Lord has laid on my heart, because if we stop for a moment and consider, the next 10 years in the apostolic world is going to bring radical changes. I woke up one day and realized I'm starting to become an elder. Help us, Jesus. I haven't reached completely elderhood yet, but I'm creeping that way. And in the next 10 years, I don't know who's going to be here. And that makes me want to treasure the voice of the elders. It makes me want to get recordings so we can preserve them. And it makes me realize that now is the time to serve God with all of our hearts. Our world needs a church. It doesn't need an intimidated church. It needs the church to be what God designed it to be: blood washed, spirit filled, led by God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4 said this: one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. And the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And what the writer is trying to convey is that God has made things cyclical. God has made circuits. God has created movement. And a large part of revival is understanding those principles. God wants a living church. God wants a flourishing church, a moving church. That's what it means to be part of the apostolic church. And we don't need large cathedrals here in 100 years if the Lord hasn't returned. We need fire-filled, Jesus' name, anointed people. Yeah, Bishop Holmes, 100 years from now, if we're still here, I don't want people to be charging admission at the front of this building and tour guides walking people through and saying, this is where people used to praise God. Look right over there. That's where Brother Holmes used to pray, right there. Isn't that something? And right over here, folks, come right on over here. Look at this. Look at over here. This is where Sister Burr used to sit and where Sister Holmes used to sit. And look, we've got that roped off because we got to preserve it. And that's exactly what's happened in places in Europe and places around the United States, because they forgot how to move and they forgot how to live and they forgot what they were called to do. But I believe, that the same Holy Ghost that fell in Acts chapter 2 and the same Holy Ghost that fell at Azusa Street is the same Holy Ghost that 100 years from now we're still going to be shouting, and we're still going, and it's either going to be up there or it's going to be down here, but it's going to be a living church. Is there anybody happy to be a part of a living church, part of an anointed assembly, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven? Praise God. So today I want to take a few moments and I want to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. I want to preach to you about the flow. I want to talk to you about the flow. Look at the person next to you and tell them it's got to flow through us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I can remember hearing J.T. Pugh preach a message one time as a boy. He was an orator, and his words helped shape how I view the Word of God. And I remember him preaching a message he entitled The Divine Flow. And being 14, 15, 16 years of age, when he got done with that message, God moved, the Spirit of God filled that place. But I remember leaving thinking, I don't have any idea what he just said. My mind was too immature in my heart, couldn't quite get a hold of what he was saying. And it's not easy to grasp spiritual things. One writer said it like this. He said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The things of the Spirit are slippery in that they are not of this world. They are of the world to come. And with clumsy hands and with awkward feet, we stumble and we feel our way. And with fallen natures, we try to make sense out of a spirit world that we know it's there and we feel it. And Jesus told Nicodemus, thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everybody that's born of the Spirit. Recently, I heard a preacher preach a message, and he said something that was pretty amazing to me. He spoke of Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the scripture says that the angels cried, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. And the doorpost shook, and the smoke filled the house thereof. Amen. I want smoke to fill this house today. I want God's presence to settle down on top of us here this morning. I want somebody to be changed by the supernatural administration of the power of God. Amen. And so he said something interesting. He said that there were angels there. They were winged creatures. And fish and angels. Fish, rather, and birds often indicate winged creatures. The angel is shown metaphorically as having wings. And the wings of the birds and the fins of the fish are metaphors of the spirit world. Creatures that are moving in a world that's unlike our world. And they are traversing and they are flowing and they're following currents. And they rise up and they settle and they flit in and they flit out of our existence. That's what the Spirit is like. And so when Jesus told the disciples, he said, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Men don't have scales and men don't have fins, but it's going to be like fish because they're slippery and they dart this way and they dart that way. And you got to grab a hold of things in the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for preaching that can grab a hold of us and can pin some things down. And the squirming nature of my heart and the quick as lightning thoughts. Amen. God knows how to get a hold of that. Amen. He knows how to make a man of God. And he knows how to make a woman of God. But you got to deal with the Spirit. And there's movement and there's flow so that God shows them as having wings. And the Bible says that they had six wings. With twain they covered their eyes. With twain they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. And here's what he said. He said they only needed two for flying. That's what the Bible says. So why did they need the other four? Two to cover their eyes, two to cover their feet. And he just brought it out as an interesting point. And I was reading in John 3, because the Bible says, unless we're born again of water and spirit, we can't see and we can't enter the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you right now that the work we got to do is going to be done by the Holy Ghost. The work that we need done in our lives is going to be done by a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't walk your way into the kingdom of God. You can't figure out and see the kingdom of God. You can't pick it and bring the kingdom of God. And you can't protest and bring the kingdom of God. And you can't complain and you can't rationalize and you can't experiment and investigate. It's going to be a work of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to happen by praying people and worshiping people and glorifying people. It's going to be done by prayer. It's going to be done by preaching. It's going to be done by worship. It's going to be done by fasting. You're going to need wings to enter into this world. Praise God. It's a work of the Spirit. And you have to understand flow. Because there is a flow to everything we do. The writer said the sun rises and it sets and it hastes back to the place it came from. And the wind comes from the north and it goes to the south and then it returns. And waters, they run out into the sea, and from the place that they came from, they go back from rivers to sea, back into the heavens. And so that cyclical nature, that flow. Right now, you're here because there are things flowing. Your blood is flowing. It's flowing right now. It's flowing through your veins, and you're upright, and your brain is receiving oxygen because of flow. And you're breathing. For everybody that thinks you have it bad, it could be a whole lot worse. I want to tell everybody in this room, you're here. Your heart's beating, your lungs are expanding, and they're contracting. And apostolics have figured out that this air isn't made for cussing and it's not made for smoking, but this air is made for praising. Hallelujah. He made this air for praising the name that let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I wish somebody would let that flow just come out of you. Let it come out of your fingertips. Let it come out of your worship. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it fill this atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, somebody floated here on a current of the spirit world. God's got plans for you. Something blew you in. Something washed you up on the shore. And here you are. I just feel like somebody came here with difficulty in your heart. And you thought, I just need a word from God at Little Rock Camp Meeting. International Camp Meeting. And it started with singing last night. And we heard that we need to remember the things of God. But you're going to hear words this week that are going to make you take wing. Ooh, hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. And they shall walk and they shall not faint. Hallelujah. That's a word of encouragement for somebody. Somebody's going to mount up this week. I'm preaching to somebody to mount up over who betrayed you. And mount up over the difficulty
that you're facing, the mortgage you're struggling to pay, the sickness that's invading your body, the person who stabbed you in the back, mount up with wings as an eagle. God's going to raise you up in this camp meeting, and he's not going to do it by therapy, and he's not going to do it by chemicals. He's going to do it by the supernatural administration of the Holy Ghost. Man, I wish somebody would mount up right now. Somebody lift your voice. Somebody lift your hands on a Sunday morning and saying, I found the current. I found the draft. I found the uplift that will allow me. Praise God. Praise God.
You know, that's an encouraging verse, and people take that verse to mean that we're going to be encouraged. We're going to mount up, we're going to run, and we're going to walk. Amen. And thank God. And we are, and it is encouraging, but that's a lot more than emotional support. That verse is not just a little daily manna on a calendar that you got from the Bible bookstore. That's not something you quote till it becomes a cliche. That's a prophecy. That one day a trumpet's gonna sound, and the mortal's gonna put on incorruption. Immortality, the corruptible's gonna put on incorruption, and you're gonna mount up. Whew. You're gonna mount up. You're gonna become something that you weren't before. You're gonna shake off the mortality and the chains and you're gonna take wings over your circumstances. You're gonna come out of cancer, and you're gonna come out of lameness, and you're gonna come out of the fallenness of human nature, and you will mount up. It's not just an encouragement, it's a fact. And so while we're waiting on the Lord, we're going to find the current. Hallelujah. And I could talk about a lot of things that reflect this. And can I just be transparent with you this morning? I'm moving past a place where I want to preach great messages. Wasn't that a great message, Brother Urshan? If you allow that to get a hold of you, you'll think, wow, I preached a great message. Look at me. But I don't think God wants pretty messages just for wowing people and for people to shake their head and say, wow, that was pretty. Put that in the archive. That's one of my favorite 50 messages. That's not why God gives us these things. I think there's a living word that needs to come forth. Hallelujah. I don't think we need to be connoisseurs of preachers, like we're going down a cheese aisle at a gourmet grocery store, and I like that kind, but I don't like that kind, and I like that kind, and well, that one's not really for me, and I'll put that back, and praise God. I don't think that's how it needs to be. And I don't want to wait to hear some new thing. I don't want to hear just some new thing. Now, I love Revelation as much as the next guy, but there's more to preaching than just new stuff. There is also timely stuff. There's stuff that needs to be spoken right now that you forgot about it. That thing has collected dust in the back of your mind, and God's got to reach into your spirit and grab a hold of a living word, a word that is relevant, a word that is timely, a word that will shake you and reestablish you. Hallelujah. This isn't a formula. I can't sit down and listen to 10 CDs and pick out the best points and try to get a message. I need God to speak to my heart, and I need to follow the current of what the Holy Ghost is doing. I got to find which way God, the wind bloweth where it listeth. I don't know why, but I got to say this. I don't know how, but God's going to do it. We're a supernatural people. Young man, there is no formula to be a great preacher. Great preachers don't say, well, let me be a great preacher. Let me study the greats. That's not what they do. They go to the prayer room. They open up the Word of God and they wear the pages out. And they underline and they write in the margins and the cover starts falling off and they wear that Bible out. That's how great preaching happens. It's people who can follow the current. Can we do that right now? Can we just follow the current in the Holy Ghost? Somebody needs to take wing this morning in the Holy Ghost. I know you feel like it's the end of your rope, but come on, rise up above it. I know what they said hurt you, but rise above it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I know you think this is the end. I know you think you're losing your mind. Come on, come put it in perspective. God would give the woman great wings and she would rise up and flee from the face of the serpent. Somebody needs to rise up in the Holy Ghost. This thing that's troubling me is temporary. This thing is not going to keep me down. I'm a child of God and I'm a child of the Spirit. I wish I had time to talk about the flow like I really want to. I'm very aware that there's people that are hungry. Amen. I'm very aware that it's the 10:30 service and there's some folks that still have cobwebs in their brain. And this is the service where you're supposed to be quiet and kind of get ready for the service in the evening. But I just don't think people of the Spirit are like that. I think people of the Spirit can feel the draft and say, wait a minute, something just shifted into fifth gear. Something in my spirit just did a flip-flop, and God is in this house, and my God is well able. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to preach about the flow. I could talk about the flow that's in our bodies. I could talk about the flow that's in our blood, that's in the wind, that's in the air. Everything is dictated by flow. I wish I had time to talk about the vine and the fig tree and the olive tree and the sap that has to run through the branches, because there's a flow that has to run through us. And Jesus said, except you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit of yourself. And I need the Holy Ghost to run through me on a daily basis. Amen. And I can't get disconnected from the vine. And being backslidden has a lot to do with being cut off from the flow. The devil can't make you leave church. Temptation can't make you leave church. Backslidden relatives that lost the battle and now want to fill your ear can't make you leave church. If you stay plugged into the vine, if the sap runs through you, if the Holy Ghost fills you, if you plug in to the preaching, if you plug in to the prayer meeting, if you plug in to the worship, if you plug in to the movement of the Holy Ghost, you will not fall. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, so you cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. And it has to do with flow. I don't want to sit there in church services with arms folded. I don't want to sit there with a speculative look. Come on, get in the flow. Let it wash over you. Let it wash over you. Hey, it'll wash through your marriage. It'll wash through your children. It'll wash through your unsaved family. Your prayer life will splash over on other people. Hey! So for somebody who hung your harp on the willows next to the riverbank, I've got a message for you. Get back in the flow. Get back in. Start moving. I want to tell you something right now. I am convinced that the spirit we've got to have in this last day is a spirit of movement and of action and of flow. Amen. We have people that have a constant stream of digital information flowing through their minds, and it's taking the place of prayer, and it's taking the place of scripture, and it's taking the place of the work of God, and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and all the other stuff and the instant on news. There's a river of the world that's flowing through us. That's the wrong river. We're not following the Nile. We're following the Jordan. There's a different river that we follow, and it's prayer, and it's worship, and it's giving glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, and it has to run right down the center of our life. Praise God. And there's probably no better analogy for the flow than the river. You can be seated. Can I take my time this morning? There's probably no better analogy than the river. It defines flow. Our great cities are built on rivers. St. Louis is where it's at because of river. Memphis is where it's at. New Orleans is where it's at. Minneapolis, Chicago, Little Rock. These are places where rivers were. Before there were roads, there were rivers, and we see it in the natural. And there is flow. Probably the first defining trait of it is movement. Movement. There has to be movement. If you want to serve God, move. It doesn't get any more fundamental than that. Get those hands clapping. Well, I'm more cerebral. I'm more educated. I like to sit back and analyze. You're going to analyze your way right out of a move of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be the most sophisticated. God didn't choose education to bring His Spirit. God chose faith. So move, clap, run, shout, dance, sing. Somebody get in the Holy Ghost. Somebody get into that supernatural. The first thing is to move. That's why it's not the lake of living water. That's why it's not the pond of living water. That's why it's not the swamp of living water. But honey, it's the river of living water, because it's got to flow. It's got to move. It's got to... Every service needs to move. Every prayer meeting needs to move. If you're the only one praying, pray. If you're the only one singing, sing. Clap your hands, all, not a few, not some that are zealous, not just new converts, but clap your hands, all ye people. And I don't care if you're postgraduate. And listen, I'm not knocking education. I'm educated. I believe in education. We need spirit and truth. We don't need to be weirdos for Jesus, just bouncing off the walls for no reason. I want to know why I'm shouting. I want to know about the blood of Jesus, and I want to know about the Lamb's Book of Life, and I want to know about Acts 2:38. But I can never neglect the movement that brought this to me. And so I don't care if you are a doctor. You should be the first one running the aisles.
God didn't give you education so you could say there's no God. God gave you education so you could appreciate that there is a God. He gave you a vocabulary so that you could articulate the fact that He's great and He's greatly to be praised.
And you can sophisticate yourself right out of a move of the Holy Ghost. Because there is flow. There is flow. The man with the withered hand, the Bible said he had a hand that was withered, and the reason it was withered is because the flow was cut off. If you cut off the flow, things wither. Amen. If you cut off the flow, prayer meetings wither. If you cut off the flow, preaching withers. It becomes social commentary. It becomes comedy. Hey, I know some funny guys that get up in the pulpit and they'll laugh. And I like a little comedy every once in a while and a funny something or what. But listen, preaching is not a comedy show. And we're not building this on personalities. And we're not building it on talent. We're following the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the kind of thing that they threw rotten tomatoes at us. This is the kind of thing that they crucified us and we had to go into the catacombs. They turned the lions loose on us. We've got to preach no matter what happens. It's a supernatural administration. It's a testimony to the generation that we live in. And one generation passes, another generation comes. But you got to preach in the flow and the current of your age. And if you cut off the flow, you'll reduce it. You'll turn it into social commentary. You'll turn it into comedy. You'll turn it into a lecture. You'll turn it into feeding the homeless, which is far below what the move of the Spirit was supposed to be. Because you'll be proved at the river. You'll be proved. This thing's going to get done by spiritual men and spiritual women. Scripture says that we've got to be spiritual. And I want a move of God, and I want to preach well, and I want to get to my points, and I want to, but I'm also open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. And if God drops something into my spirit halfway through, I'm just going to follow that current. See, I believe somebody can be healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that right now in this beautiful facility, right now in this structured regimen, I believe that the Holy Ghost can break out and God can cause the lame to walk and God can cause the blind eye to be open and God can cause the deaf ear to be unstopped, and He can do it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I just got to find the flow. I just got to find the outpouring of His Spirit. And that's what turns nations upside down. That's what causes multitudes to come to Christ. Spiritual people. People that know how to take wing. God brought Gideon to the waters. And He said, Gideon, tell every man that's afraid, tell him to go home. Half his army walks off. And Gideon says, well, that was bad, but I guess we can still make it if we do this and we do that. And God tells him something very interesting. He says, I can't give you victory with all this natural power. You have too much money. You have too much intelligence. You're going to think it happened by strategy. You're going to think you did this, Gideon. When this is done, everybody's going to know there ain't no way. Don't get a big head when you serve God, because you're not an example. I'm not an example of excellence. I'm an example of what God can do.
This isn't about Nathaniel Urshan. This is about what a mighty God can do with a no good bunch of nothing like Nathaniel Urshan. He can take a lump of clay and he can make something out of it. If God can bring victory through Gideon and 300, it doesn't bring glory to Gideon. It brings glory to God. I think that charismatic churches and churches that leave the flow of the Holy Ghost, I think they're churches who went to battle with the whole number. I think they're people who said, we need all the extra and we can do this on our own and we can have all the natural weapons we have and look how great we are. And it gives rise to inflated egos. It gives rise to narcissists. It gives rise to a lack of holiness and pride and arrogance and sensuality. And that's not the Holy Ghost. And a holy people know that's not how God's army operates. I can't use those people, Gideon. I can't bring glory to myself by using the flesh. So I'm going to whittle you down to a people that understand the Spirit. Now tell everybody to get down and drink from the water. And I will prove them there for you. And they get down. 300 got to their knees and they lifted the water to their mouth. And the rest lowered themselves to the water. That's a powerful idea. The difference, why God rejected them. Same stuff, same water, same people, same mission, but it's how they handled the natural. We don't lower ourselves to the natural. We raise the natural to where God's at. It's how we handle the things of God. Hallelujah. We can take the same stuff and we can look at it different ways. We can take money. We can take money. And if you lower yourself to money, money becomes everything. Money becomes the end all. You'll lose your marriage over money. You'll lose your children over money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And all that preacher wants is my money. And I'm not going to give my money because he... And you're saying that not because the preacher has a problem with money. It's because you have a problem with money. We don't lower ourselves to money. We raise money to where we are. We're going to preach. We're going to build churches. We're gonna preach the gospel. I'm talking about following the Spirit. I'm talking about the flow of the Holy Ghost. There's a time when they came and brought everything and laid at the apostles' feet and God used it. And then there was a time when the man loved money that Peter looked at him and said, thy money perish with thee. Because you've lowered yourself to the money rather than raised it to what it's supposed to be used for. Is Brother Curtin here today? Brother Kurt? He's somewhere. Let me tell you something, Brother Kurt. He always jokes about me. I pick on the musicians. I actually love music, and I love Brother Kurt, and I love musicians, and I love music, but we never lower ourselves to music. We never dance because the drum is beating. That We don't lower ourselves to the carnal and to talent and to charisma and to the natural weapons. That's not what wins this battle, Gideon. I'll tell you what wins this battle. It's when you take music and you elevate it to where it's supposed to be. Pick up your harp, David, and play and run the evil spirit out. Run it out in the name of God. That's right. I love musicians, Kurt. I just like spiritual musicians. I like the ones that know how to dance. I like the ones that know how to shout. I like the ones that know how to lead us into the presence of God. I like... Lift it up. Lift it up. Because the river will prove you. The river will prove you.
If you lower yourself, if you lower yourself to the river, you'll get effeminacy. You'll promote talent over anointing. That goes for preaching. We're not here for oratory. We're not here so people can wow us with their vocabulary. I want a man that knows how to get on his knees and call on the name of Jesus. I want somebody that can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Somebody that knows how to lift the water to them. I'm lifting the natural and I'm raising it higher. It's not just money, it's tithing. It's not just music, it's worship. It's not just speaking, it's preaching. And you have to raise it up a little higher if you're gonna win this battle. And I wish somebody would just, you feel that? Come on, rise up. Rise up. Rise up above your problem. In the name of Jesus, rise up above the gossip. Rise up above the politics. Rise up above your mortgage payment. Rise up above the natural.
Remain standing. Hallelujah. I got a lot more to preach, but I feel like we just need to let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Not only do we have a river, but we have a specific river. Amen. The prophet told Naaman, he said, no, you can't go back to Syria. No, you can't go into those rivers. You got to dip in this river. There's something different about this river. I feel like I'm about to jump out of my shoes right now. I got stuff flying at me from every direction. I'm trying to find out which way the Holy Ghost wants me to go. I just want to get in the river this morning. Come on, Naaman. Come on, Naaman. Hey, ta-da-da-bo-ko-sha. Come on. Get in the river. Get in Pentecost. Get in the Holy Ghost. Get into the flow of what God's doing in the name of Jesus. You can be seated. I'm sorry. It just washes over me. It'll wash over you. It'll direct you. You'll follow the current. You'll follow the current into home Bible studies. You'll follow the current into preachers and the next generation and men and women of God that are going to be used, and God will lead you. You'll preach things that you didn't plan on preaching, and you'll operate in the Holy Ghost when you didn't even know you were going to. See, I believe that the Spirit's moving in this day, and we have to follow this. I think that we're going to walk into grocery stores and the Holy Ghost is going to tell us to speak to somebody. Oh, here he goes. He's just preaching about outreach. Brother Urshan's always preaching on evangelism. He wants to get us to go witness to everybody. Yeah, I do, but you're missing the point. I don't just want you to witness so that they're saved. I want you to witness so you're saved. I want you in the flow. I want this flowing through you. I want this coming out of your fingertips. I want this dripping off your lips. I want you saturated. Movement doesn't just save them, it saves you. Your teenagers will backslide if all they do is play games and gossip and flirt and find out who I'm going to date and find out all the natural. They will backslide on the pew. Well, I brought them to church. I physically put them in there. Yeah, but are they in the flow? But you take that little guy out and you get them knocking on doors and you let them sit in on a home Bible study and you let them absorb the river. Let them get caught up in the current of what dad's doing, of what mom's doing. Hallelujah. You're not just going to save the guy sitting across from you. Your son's going to get pulled into the vortex. Your daughter is going to get pulled into the stream. This thing's a rushing, powerful, flowing, moving. I'm closing. You can remain standing. I got to stop, but I think I know a little bit about why it's this river. Hallelujah. No, Naaman, you can't go over there and you can't dip in that river. It's this river. And I ask myself, what's in this river? And I go back to Joshua when he came across and the waters parted. The Bible says there was a place where the priest's feet stood firm. Somebody needs to write that down because that'll preach until the sun comes up. There's some places where the priest's feet stood firm. Aren't you glad Brother Holmes didn't move on some things? Aren't you glad that men of God planted their feet and said, right here, we're going to put a stone right here. We're going to put the oneness of God right here. We're going to put Jesus' name right here. We're going to put the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the fruit of the Spirit right here. Places where the priest's feet stood firm. And he put 12 of them in there. And then he went up on the bank and he put 12 more. So that when the waters came back down, there were 12 you could see and there were 12 you couldn't see. And God was saying, there's going to be 12 you can see and there's going to be 12 that are hidden. That'll be revealed later. I think there's patriarchs you can see, and I think there's apostles they couldn't see. And I think that's what's in this water. I think that when Naaman got into that water, there was stuff swirling around him that was not in Syria. I think there was virtue flowing around him. What kind of virtue? Well, it's another message for another day, but it's the 12 and 12. That's what it is in a nutshell. And we don't even know what that is, Brother Urshan. Yeah, but it's good. I love it. It's just what's in this water. Amen. There's no accident that Elijah got on top of Carmel and he took 12 stones and built an altar. One for each tribe in Israel. And they were visible and they were physical and they were tangible, and it's the patriarchs of Israel. And then he said, now to get the fire fall, go get 12 buckets of water. These are liquid. These are going to flow over the 12 you can see. And when you put the 12 with the 12, there's going to be fire that falls down from heaven. I think when you put the 12 apostles with the 12 patriarchs, Pentecost happens. I think fire falls. I think it licks up the dust. I think it licks up the water. I think it consumes the sacrifice and the God that in. I don't know how it works, but it's what's in this river. Musicians, come on. And Jesus walks down into that when he's ready to be baptized. John's prophesying. There's stuff happening in this river. Naaman, there's going to be one that models the new birth that gets in this thing. And there's multiculturalism in that river because Naaman wasn't even a Jew. Meaning God's going to cleanse people from every nation. It's all in this river. We're not just going to have white churches, and we're not just going to have black churches, and we're not just going to have Hispanic churches, but we're going to have an apostolic church that's filled. And Naaman, come on. Naaman, get down in this muddy river. Naaman, when you dip down seven times, you're going to come up with skin like a baby because there's something in the flow. And so he looks at the Pharisees and he says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Thieves, liars, snakes. And don't think to say to yourselves that you're of the children of Abraham, because God is able of these stones. I used to think he's just talking about rocks. I thought he was talking about like rocks that, you know, I used to go down to the riverside and I'd find me a little flat rock and just boop, 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 skip it across. I thought that he was, there's some rocks laying around here. God can do anything. I thought that's what he meant. That's not what he meant. Because there's stuff in this river. It wasn't just a random statement. It was a prophecy that God's going to raise up children unto Abraham from these stones. Hallelujah. 12 and 12 are going to work together, and it's going to make a church. It's going to make a people. It's going to make an administration in the New Testament that is going to blow people's minds. And it's not genealogy, but it's going to be from these stones. I'm telling you, there's stuff in the flow that will blow your mind. And right now, I want somebody on a Sunday morning to lift your hands, and I want you to jump right in the middle of this thing. Right where you are. I want the pastors that are here, jump in the middle of what God is doing. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to pastors' wives. You're about to lose your mind because you're wrestling with things in the church. Get your hands up and get in the flow of what God's doing. Come into this flow. Come into this. Right now, I want somebody to step out of your seat. Come on. We're going to make room down here at the front. On a Sunday morning, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't explain all of it. I don't know how it all works. I just know that I want to get inside of it. Come on, young preacher. God's going to let you get into the flow of the Holy Ghost. Come on, home missionary. God's going to put you into His purpose and His will, and you're going to bring forth things. God's raised up children unto Abraham here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hallelujah. People that know how to get in the flow. People that know how to get into the flow of what God's doing. Come on down into this river, Naaman. Come on down into this river. Right where you are, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to move in the Holy Ghost. Every song, every testimony. I'm following the Holy Ghost. Let it flow through you. Let it move through you. Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Let it pump through your veins. Let the wind carry you. It's the flow. It's the flow of the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. That's it. Right now. In
There's healing in this flow. There's deliverance in this flow. There's salvation in this flow.